Lord, while the words I speak are my words, may the words that we hear be your words. Amen. The story of the church begins with Peter. It begins with this conversation that Jesus has with Peter. The conversation begins, "Who do people say that I am?" Jesus is asking that question to the disciples. And the response is, well, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're one of the other prophets. But Jesus persists. Who do you say that I am? And Peter steps up. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus responds with a kind of anointing for Peter. Peter, you will be the rock. You'll be the one upon whom I build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So that was the conversation that began the church. The church, which has preserved the values and words and teachings of Jesus and his example down through the ages. And we, some 2,000 plus years later, here at St. Mary's Church, are part of that rich and amazing legacy. We are the church. The way we become part of the church is through baptism. And there are two pieces in the baptism formulary or covenant that I want to lift up this morning. One of the questions is, will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers? That's one. Will you continue in the spiritual practices that put you in touch with the values that Jesus lived and died for? And then the other question that I think of as so important, will you respect the dignity of every human being? Those are the two parts that are most important from my perspective about the covenant. It's the gathering and the scattering. It's the striving for balance to try to understand how God is active and present in our life and in the world, and then to go forth and respect the dignity of every human being, to do something about it, to make the values that we reflect on and pray about here in this place real out there in the world. The civil rights movement was one of the shaping times for me in terms of deepening my understanding of respect for other human beings. I had the chance to participate in Dr. King's march for voting rights, Selma to Montgomery, in March of 1965. And it really did change my perspective about justice, about standing tall for other human beings. One of the people who participated in that march early on and then went back to seminary, but later came back to do work in Hainesville, Alabama that summer, was my seminary classmate, Jonathan Daniels. And after the crowds of the march were all gone and Jonathan and just some of his friends were working in Hainville, Alabama, the forces of darkness rose up and Jonathan was killed. He'd been in jail for disturbing the peace with some others, and they were released, walked across the street to a general store because it was a hot August afternoon to get a drink. And a man, Tom Coleman, who was a deputy sheriff, pointed a gun at Ruby Sales, a 16-year-old African-American girl who was part of the company. Jonathan pushed her away and took the full blast and was killed instantly. A martyr for the cause of justice and peace. Jonathan was a graduate of VMI. He'd been valedictorian of the class of 1961. He never served in the military, and Jonathan, while he was very smart, really didn't subscribe to military values in terms of serving in the military. And when he was martyred, VMI really didn't know quite what to do with Jonathan, how to think about him. And what was amazing was that over the years, because of John's courage and standing tall for peace and justice and values, which really are at the heart of the VMI experience, they gradually reclaimed him. And now at VMI, there are four honorific arches. One is to George Washington, one to Stonewall Jackson, one to George Marshall, and one to Jonathan Daniels, who gave his life for a 16-year-old African-American girl. One of the ways that VMI keeps the legacy of Jonathan going is periodically to make an award, the Jonathan Daniels Award. They don't do it every year. The first one was given to Jimmy Carter. But 2 years ago, March 2015, the Corps was assembled, and I had the privilege of being there. And they gave the award to John Lewis, the congressman from the 5th District in Georgia. It was the 50th anniversary of the Selma to Montgomery March. And John Lewis had had his head beaten at the Pettus Bridge at the beginning of the march. And now, through all these years, 50 years later, not only did he survive that attack, but he's serving his country in Congress, striving for constructive ways to make the kingdom of God a reality. I was really overjoyed. It was a moment of high faith for me, because I personally have always been haunted by Jonathan's example and the sacrifice that he made. But it was a high moment of faith to realize that those values that Jonathan stood for are still alive and well. The entire cadet corps was there, and that these are values, the striving for peace and justice, are foundational at VMI. When I left that place, that was 2 years ago, March, you had that feeling, just as we did back in the day as we're fighting for civil rights, that the kingdom was going to come very soon. You could almost taste it, because people were standing up for the right kind of values. Well, a couple of weeks ago, along came Charlottesville. And it was a reminder to me, never underestimate the forces of darkness. They're incredibly powerful. and we ignore them at our own risk. And that's why we have to take kingdom values as Christian people and stand up to the forces of darkness, because they're not going to go away by themselves. Forces of hate, of division, neo-Nazis, white supremacists, they're not going to go away by themselves. One of the things that's happened in the aftermath of Charlottesville is there was a clergy statement that was circulated in Richmond, and there was a press conference about it at the new Maggie Walker statue down on Main Street last Monday. And some 600 clergy have signed this statement, including Andrew and me and Wheezy and so many others. And there were four things about it. One part of the statement was to affirm the value of every human being as being created in the image of God. Every human being. That was one. A second piece was rejecting forces of division, thoughts about white supremacy, neo-Nazis, others who would divide and dehumanize some people and extol others. To reject that, that was two. The third one was to confess our own sin and complicity in the life of American culture that has led to racism and its continuation. That we are complicit in all kinds of different ways. And it was important to confess our sin about that. And the fourth piece was to pledge ourselves to work harder for kingdom values, to honor the humanity of every human being. Well, that was a moment in time. That was last Monday. The battle goes on. The forces of darkness are real, but people of faith must stand up and be counted, because the forces of darkness are not going away by themselves. So out of that encounter that Jesus has with Peter in the beginning of the church, will you come together week by week to celebrate the sacraments, to be faithful in prayer? Will you and I, under the aegis of our baptismal covenant, pay attention to what God is calling each one of us to do when we come to pray and worship? Because it's an ongoing kind of process, and we need to be in touch with values that can give us hope and sustain us. And then we go forth again to discover ways that we can respect the dignity of every human being. May God give us the strength and the encouragement for each of us to find a way that we can make a difference today for God's kingdom.